Good evening and welcome everyone to week 9 of the Behind the Book Unleash 30-minute conference call going through 12 chapters of the book Tapping into the Divine Flow with yours truly, the author Michael Deere. Today we are going to focus on a very interesting topic, a topic that is very creative. And yes, that's the topic of creativity. I have a quote here that says, "Creation is a better means of self-expression than possession. It is through creation or through creating, not possessing, that life is revealed." From Vida Dutton. And I'd like to begin this chapter on creativity by sharing a very epic struggle between the powers of good and the powers of evil. Satan throughout history has wanted to compete with God as well as copy God. You know, they say if you can't beat him, join him. And he tries to counterfeit everything that God does. He tries to have his own version. But creation glorifies God because it is that great separator. It's the great definer that separates God Almighty, God our Father, Jehovah God, from Satan and anything that he can do. And I'll give you a perfect example. A child that is born, maybe born in the middle of a relationship that is struggling or dysfunctional. However, when that baby is born, all of the dysfunction seems to stop. The room silences as a new life emerges. And it just alludes to how awe-inspiring creation can be. When God brings a new baby into this world, a new life, in fact, no matter the drama, no matter the baby mama drama that surrounds this birth, the child is still a gift from only one source, and that's God. And so every time the enemy sees a baby being born, it reminds him of the huge gap between the only one who can create life and all others. And the best that he can do is to take that light, that pure light, that innocent child, and through a life of betrayal, testing, negativity and hatred and fear, turn that child into something that he can call his own creation, a pedophile, a drug dealer, a prostitute, what have you, a criminal, a sociopath. And he looks back at God and says, "This is my creation that I made from your canvas, if you will." But that still doesn't stop the fact that at the very heart of the matter, only God can create a brand new life. So I want to really bring it home from this very epic scene and this epic struggle to let you know that the very act of creating something, the very act of doing something that has never been done before, brings a tremendous amount of glory to God. The God who gave you the power to do it. The God who said in Philippians 4:13 that you can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens you. So creation glorifies God. And the next section that I jump into in page 117 is to encourage you, to let you know that you don't have to fall into the stigma or the stereotype. Because we have a stereotype that people who are creative are overly expressive, overly flamboyant, disrespectful, arrogant. They don't respect time. They don't respect other people's opinions or values. But that is not true. What you find is the creative people, or the people that we like to term creative, sometimes they use rebellion. Sometimes they use rebellion so that they can seem creative. But creativity does not have its roots in rebellion. Creativity has its roots in doing something that has never been done before. And what happens is, of course, when you're doing something that has never been done before, there is an element of boldness, of hard-headedness, if you will, to withstand the status quo and to withstand the opposition that comes. But at its root level, creativity does not have to be associated with being arrogant, defiant, and rebellious. That's a negative stigma that we should not fall into, and don't allow yourselves to get trapped in that. You can be creative and still live a disciplined life. You can be creative and still live a decent life. Okay, and that's what I share on page 17, that you don't have to fall into that classification. It's not one or the other. It's recognizing why we are creative. Creativity brings glory to God. On page 119, paragraph 2, I share that creativity is about being first. It's about doing something that has never been done before. And this is where I ask all the time, and every time I stand before an audience or a group, to ask them, when was the last first in your life? Or what was the last first in your life? Now, I'm not talking about the mundane things that you do on a daily basis or your average routine. I'm talking about something that was refreshingly new in your life. When was the last time? Was it a week ago? Was it a month ago? Was it a year ago? If it's more than a week that you've experienced a new thing in your life, I would encourage you to do what Eleanor Roosevelt said, which encourages me as well to keep that flow of creativity going. She suggests that you should do something every day that scares you. Now, that's not a thought that we would all like to embrace, but when you look into it and look at the wisdom behind it, you realize doing something every day that scares you keeps you on the cutting edge. It keeps you out of your comfort zone, and it keeps you in a place where you can be comfortable creating and not just going with the flow of life. On page 123 through 125, I share a fascinating thought about how God relates to us and creativity, how he wants to build a relationship with us. The Lord wants to have a particular relationship where we are creating not for God, but with God. Okay? We know in the Genesis narrative, the creation narrative, that the Lord created the animals. And after he created the animals, I asked myself a question, and there was a great deal of wisdom that came about in this question, because the question said, if God was able to make the animals, don't you think he was capable of assigning names to the very animals that he formed? If you look at that question or look at the two, you'd recognize that forming the animal is the harder of the two, or the more difficult task of the two. If you could form an animal from the ground, breathe into it, and it becomes a living soul, or speak to it as he did, and it becomes a living animal, then I believe giving it a name, a label, should be something easy to do in relation. But what did the Lord do? Instead, he brought the animals that he formed right before Adam, and he told Adam to name the animals. And guess what? The name that Adam gave the animals was the name that they were called even up until today. In fact, in the very words of Scripture, from that point on, every time a lion was mentioned, it referred to the same animal that Adam named a lion. And what's so fascinating about this is that through the Word of God, you see that God backed up the distinction and the assignment of names that Adam gave the animals. So he called the giraffe a giraffe. And from that day forward, every time the Word of God referred to a giraffe, it was the same animal that Adam named a giraffe. Now, my question is, how did Adam know to name a giraffe a giraffe? But that's a whole different lesson and a whole different book to be explored at a later time. But I share in the same vein of thought that God brings things before you and I. And yes, they may look like sickness, but he's expecting you to name it, and he's expecting you to call it healing. Yes, it might look like being broke, but he's expecting you to call it reinventing yourself and expecting you to name it. Yes, it might look like defeat, but he lays it at your foot so that you can name it and you can give it a distinction. And guess what? Whatsoever you name that thing by faith, if you believe it and do not doubt according to the Word of God, guess what? God will stand behind you and endorse what you have called it and not what it was perceived as, but what you named it. And that's the power of naming things. When you're in the business of naming things, you allow yourself to break free of classifications and you make new classifications if necessary. You don't fall into stereotypes, but you create them. And that's where the Lord wants us to exist. That's where he wants us to be, in that place where we're not fitting into molds, but we are making molds, where we are not conforming, but we are forming. All right, did you get that? We're not conforming, but we are the ones who are forming. So God brings things to your foot. He brings things in front of you, and he's waiting for you to name it. And whatsoever you name it, it will be endorsed in heaven as it is on earth. Page 129, I share that sometimes breaking the creativity around you or making something creative or your great idea, your brilliant first, is closer than you think. It's closer than you think. You don't even have to search the universe for your million idea, because there's an equation, a simple equation, that you can use when looking to create something. Good plus good equals great. Sometimes all you have to do is take two things that are working, two things that are effective, and combine them in a creative combination to create something that is great. Okay, and let's recap here by reminding you that when you create, you're taking something that is thought in your mind, an imagination, an imaginary thought, and you are doing the footwork, you are doing the grunt work of making that invisible thought a physical reality. Okay, and when I talked about the first, I wanted to share a point that I think I glazed over, but I want to make it very clear here, that being the first is not about just doing something for the first time in your own life, but being the first is about doing something that no one has ever done before. And I usually like to take some time out in the workshops to share with everyone that the very book that we are talking about, Unleashed, Tapping into the Divine Flow, is a byproduct of this very principle, because I've never heard this taught before. So it is a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I've never heard the Divine Flow taught, or I've never heard God's systematic plan for creating and building an army. I never heard that taught before. But this process, and all of you on this line, all of you who have attended the workshop, purchased the book, or supported in one way or another, are a part of this process of creation being made manifest before our eyes. So the very systematic process that is used to create is being used in the process of making the unleashed story and taking it to the nations. So I just wanted to encourage you that your duty in life is not just to be a mundane follower, not to be a carbon copy of someone else. It's not for you to grease your sides with butter so that you can fit into someone else's mold. It's for you to step back and take a look at your life, take a look at the lives around you, and decide with the power of God on your side to create something that not only is a first for you, but is a first for all mankind. Believe me, it's possible. And believe me, you already have the potential inside of you. And even if you don't, you're connected to the God who does. So just be encouraged and know that when you create something that is refreshingly new, God gets the glory.